A man named Kevin Miller once told a story about his life. I'm going to read it to you here. Kevin Miller writes, "When I went to Wheaton College as a freshman," and Wheaton College is Christian college in Wheaton, Illinois, he says, "I moved 700 miles away from my family. Back then, there was no email, no instant messaging, no cell phone. My college roommate hung out by himself. My first winter, it snowed 90 inches. I felt like I was living in the Arctic. I was lonely and literally out in the cold. Then a senior guy, a senior class guy named Mike Yearly, invited me to his apartment for dinner and a Bible study. I got there and his wife Lynn was cooking a home-cooked meal. I could smell it as soon as I walked in the door, and it tasted way better than anything in the college cafeteria. There were other people there too, a guy named Dave and another named Dan, who were upperclassmen and popular. They would never have spent time with me or even known who I was, but because I'd been invited to Mike's apartment, they talked with me. We all talked and laughed and played games and listened to music and drank coffee, hung out until super late. And as I walked home with Dan, I thought, wow, no one there has a huge bloated ego. They just care about each other. That apartment became my home and my sanity. Whenever I had a question or problem with dating, I went to Mike's apartment. Whenever I had a question or problem about my spiritual life, I would go to Mike's apartment. Mike and Dan began teaching me how to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. What I found in Mike's apartment was a community of love." There are a number of nice things about that story. I'm going to ask you to focus in on just one of them, though. So this Mike's apartment experience for Kevin had been an important point in his young life, moving him from being lonely into being in the community, from being, cold into being warm. And it led to other good additional things there. It sounds like there was kind of a mentoring thing that started happening between these older guys and him. So all good stuff, and none of that would have happened if Mike hadn't invited. We're continuing here today my ongoing and occasional series called Characteristics of Christ Followers. Last Sunday morning, we saw that Christ followers are called to be encouragers. And in the small group study guide for you during the week, I asked you to think of a time in your life when maybe somebody encouraged you in a way that was really meaningful. I also asked you to think of a time when somebody criticized you in a hurtful way. And we said that Christ followers are called to be encouragers. So today, similarly now, I will ask you, can you think of a time, and I'm not looking for out loud responses here, but can you think of a time when somebody invited you to something and it felt really good? Maybe you've had a similar experience to Kevin Miller's. And then I would guess that we can all also think of a time when we weren't invited to something and it hurt. It can be painful to be left out, right? So guess what characteristic of Christ followers we're going to be talking about today. Christ followers, we are called to be inviters. We're called to be inviters. Just like last Sunday, and this is probably going to be true for all these kinds of characteristics that we're called to, this call to be an inviter is essentially a call to imitate one of the characteristics of God. Have you ever thought of God as being an inviter? He actually is a major league inviter. He's in the major leagues for this. What was it that Kevin Miller said he found in Mike's apartment there? He said his words were, he found a community of love. Well, throughout its pages, the Bible tells us that we were created for and even created in a community of love. Adam, Eve, and God, right? The Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that it was humanity that walked out on that community of love. So the Bible also depicts God as, ever since, standing there, calling to us, and inviting us home. Jesus really put this into a beautiful picture for us in that story of the prodigal son. There was the wealthy farmer's son in that story who walked away from the community of love that he had grown up in. And he went out and spent all his money frivolously, foolishly, sinfully, until he was alone and desperate and without hope. And, you know, we always say this, it's not until you hit rock bottom sometimes, right? When you start looking at things differently, and he began thinking again about the father, his father, and the loving community he had walked away from. And then also in that story is the father, and Jesus' telling of the tale leads us to this idea that the father in the story was often looking out to the horizon, right? Hoping to see his son returning to him. And then one day he does. Well, the father could have been rightfully angry. The father could have told the son that he was going to have to earn his way back into the good graces of the family. But what does the father in the story do instead? Jesus says that he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Jesus says the father was full of compassion for him, and he threw a party and welcomed him immediately back into full membership in the family. Well, this story is nothing less than Jesus' explanation of how our Father God waits for each human being to return to him. It's this idea of God scanning the horizon, waiting in hope. And when any human being does return and confess their sins and desire to be part of the fam again, does God angrily take that person through a verbal lashing? Does he tell the person, you're going to have to earn it? No, God celebrates and God invites. Arms open wide. God is an inviter. Turn back to me and be saved, God says in Isaiah 45, 22. Turn back to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. There is no other. Now, tragically, many human beings never appear on the horizon. God's looking for them, and they never show up. They choose to stay lost. Let's jump to another parable of Jesus's, this one from Luke 14. Man says to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feasts in the kingdom of God, referring there to the end times. And Jesus says back to him, a certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all began to make excuses. The first said, hey, I just bought a field. I must go see it, so please excuse me. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master, and the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of this town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room. And the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. God invites, many ignore him, and he just keeps on inviting. So Jesus gave us stories like these to help us understand what God is like. Jesus himself was given to us to help us understand what God is like. And here is some of what I see that Jesus did while he was here in bodily form. This is Matthew 4. Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. So follow me, that's an invitation. Matthew 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. Matthew got up and followed him. John 1, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. And I don't want you to start thinking that Jesus only invited the 12 disciples to follow him. Here's Matthew 19. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus gives him a few ideas, and he says, "I've done all that. What else do I need?" So Jesus says, "Well, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." Everyone, all of us, are invited to follow Jesus. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I love those words from Jesus. Those are very inviting words, aren't they? "Come to me." Mark 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them because, you know, children weren't normally welcomed to hang out with rabbis. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them." He invited them in. Jesus is an inviter. And how about this for a parallel to our opening story about Kevin Miller being invited to Mike's apartment? Jesus has invited us into his home. This is John 14. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" We're invited to his house. Jesus was an inviter. Jesus is an inviter. God is an inviter to a world looking in every direction but to God. He remains standing there, calmly, quietly, waiting, calling, with arms out wide. As Christ followers, we are asked to imitate God. We, too, are to be inviters. So Anna and I are in the parenting zone right now of organizing birthday parties for our children when their birthdays roll around. When Maya reached kindergarten, and we're actually doing the same thing now with Greta, who is also now in kindergarten, we asked Maya to invite everybody in her class to come to her birthday party rather than just a select few. Yes, it did lead to some chaos at the party, if you are thinking that. You are correct. But we did this for a purpose. We wanted to take that opportunity to help teach Maya and now Greta that it's important to be inviters. I was actually explaining this to Greta just a few days ago about her party coming up, and I just didn't feel like she was completely tracking with me until I said it this way. "Greta, what if your friend Abby threw a birthday party and invited a bunch of your friends, but not you? How would you feel about that?" That Greta understood. It hurts to be left out. So we want to be includers. We want to be inviters. And Anna and I have tried to take that opportunity to teach our girls that it's important to be inviters. I'll tell you, we haven't been quite as strict since then. It's not always practical to invite everybody. You got to draw the line somewhere. You can't invite the whole school, I suppose. But we talk about that every year. So at first grade with Maya, we invited all the girls. Didn't leave any girl out there. Well, here's a related question for you. Does God call us to be friends with everybody? Are we supposed to be friends with everyone? Well, obviously there's some time and space limitations there. But I actually think that, you know, despite those limitations, generally speaking, I think the answer to that question is yes. God asks us to love everybody like we love ourselves. I can't imagine loving someone but not thinking of them as being a friend. That doesn't seem to follow. Now, I also believe that we are not called to be best friends with everybody, okay? We're going to click with some people better than we click with others. That's the way the world works, right? And I don't think we have to feel bad about that. We don't have to feel bad if we're not making sure that we're spending exactly equal time with every single person out there. Again, time and space limitations, right? So we don't have to be best friends with everybody, but I do believe we ought to look at everyone as being a friend. Now, some aren't going to return that feeling, those good intentions towards us, but as far as it is within our power, I think we're to look at everyone as being a friend or a potential friend. And one thing that friends do, friends invite. What are we to invite people to? Well, friendship, that's an obvious answer, to invite people into a friendship with us. And then, like that Mike's apartment story, we can also invite people into our homes, right? Provide dinner, conversation. I'd like to suggest today, too, that to us that this sort of invitation shouldn't only be reserved for those people who fit that category I just spoke of the people that we click the most with. Yeah, invite those people over, of course. But maybe also look for people to invite into your home who just need that sort of invitation. There must have been something about Wheaton College freshman Kevin that stuck out to Mike, which led him to invite him over. I would guess that he sensed a need in Kevin, which means that Mike was open to seeing and noticing that need. And obviously he was also open to acting on it, right? Taking action and taking steps to meet that need, and he issued the invitation into his home. Somebody did that for me once. I've spoken over the past two Sundays now about a time of darkness that I went through in my life, a time where I was in the pit for a variety of reasons. That all kind of hit about the same time that a lot of my guy friends had been getting married off and weren't nearly as available as they used to be for hanging out, and I hadn't gotten there yet. So things had started to get a little lonely, and that, all of that combined to make for some tough days for me. I remember days of just feeling thirsty for something that felt like life. There was a family I'd known from a church I'd previously attended, and I hadn't seen them for quite a while at that point, but had really enjoyed them back when I was at that earlier church. And just one night, spontaneously, they invited me over to their house. It was a sunny summer evening, and they were going to be cooking out, grilling out, the four of them. I went, and I just had a great time. And it hit me on an emotional level. This is going to sound kind of weird, I guess, but I hadn't grilled out for a really long time. I lived by myself, and sitting there smelling the charcoal and the food and sitting in the grass with the sun shining and laughing with these folks brought me back to the times I'd done that with my parents and brothers, and it just felt really good. Felt like life. Didn't totally pull me out of the pit, but for that night anyway, it was really good medicine. Maybe we should be on the lookout for people who have a need for that kind of thing. I wonder if you can think of anyone in your life right now who might need that sort of invitation. Well, perhaps a stranger will show up someday who is a person in that kind of need. Look at this from the book of Hebrews. It says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." Wow. Yeah, I would say the Bible wants us to be inviters. Well, in addition to inviting people into friendships and inviting people into our homes, we know also, of course, that God desires us to invite people out there who have yet to return to Him to do so. We're asked to invite people to experience the love and the saving mercy of Jesus that we have experienced and the life that comes from Him. Now, I know that kind of conversation with somebody can be intimidating. I really don't think it needs to be. We've talked about this before. I believe all we need to do is just love that person, be friends with them, and then someday ask them what they think about God. And I think most of the time, especially if they feel comfortable with you and they feel safe, I think they'll tell you what they think. And that opens the door for you to say what you think. So when you get the opportunity to explain your thoughts, don't do it in an overbearing way or a know-it-all sort of way. Let it be genuine. Let it be enthusiastic. Make it low pressure. Let them feel that you're going to love them no matter what they decide on this God topic. But definitely explain it and definitely invite. Now, if that just feels too intimidating to you, there is another sort of invitation you can do that is quite a bit easier. You can invite them to church with you, right? Every Sunday, there is a pathway to Jesus offered here. Sundays and during small groups, etc. Perhaps all it will take is a few times of going to church for your friend. So if you're feeling unsure about sharing Jesus in a personal conversation, you can simply invite them to church. I think you should keep working on that personal conversation thing. But at least get the church invitation out there. This past summer when I was preaching sermons to you based on that book called Transformational Discipleship, we looked at a statistic I want to bring back up again. This was from a 2016 study done by Lifeway Research, and it said that 51% of people who do not attend church say they would attend if a friend or a neighbor asked them. And I said in that sermon, those are good odds, way better than when I was a financial advisor and I was calling random people to see if they wanted a financial analysis with me. If I had gotten 51%, I would have been really happy. And I also said in that previous sermon, and this fits in really well with what we're talking about today, that I would like to see us here at Calvary develop a really strong invite culture, that we would be regularly inviting people to church. And this shouldn't be hard for us, because it's not like we're inviting people to something sketchy or to something we should be embarrassed about. We're inviting them to come hear about Jesus, who is the most important person to be hearing from in life. So invite, 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 I said back then. To that end, I would like to announce to you now that I am going to be running an Advent sermon series here in December that is intentionally a series that should be easy for you to invite people to. Back a few years ago, some of you will remember we watched a few sermons by Pastor Craig Groeschel, and I got onto that church's email list back then, and they do a lot of offering of their ideas and resources to other churches to try to be helpful. One thing that those emails have brought up a number of times is a series that Pastor Groeschel likes to do every summer that he titles At the Movies. And Pastor Groeschel will show clips of various movies and then tie them into a biblical point. If you've been here at Calvary for any length of time, you know that I like to do that now and then and show a movie clip and draw a biblical point from it. I've never actually done an actual, sermon series with that as the intent, but I have decided I'm going to do this for the three December sermons prior to Christmas, and my hope is that you'll take the opportunity to tell somebody about it and invite them to church with you for it. My plan is to have invitation postcards that will describe the sermon series to give to you next Sunday morning so you can hand those out. We'll see if I can get that done. I'm hoping to. But yeah, we're going to do At the Movies Christmas this December. And we'll look at some clips from popular Christmas movies, and I'm sure Elf will be in there somewhere. And we'll use that to help us focus in on Jesus during this important season. A reflection on him. So don't be scared to do that. If Lifeway is correct, and you got two people in your mind right now about who you might invite, one of them is going to say yes. So invite. Would you all commit with me to invite at least one person to come with you this December? Let's do it. So yeah, we are asked by God to imitate him and be inviters. I got one last short image for you. You know, if you read the Bible, that Jesus once said that his followers were like light. He said, "You're the light of the world." You know what light is? Light is inviting. I often go jogging around Madison after dark, and I tell you, there is just something inviting about a well-lit home, especially if it's cold outside, which it is right now. Cold and dark, and I'm running by a house that has all its indoor lights on, and you know, I kind of glance in the windows as I'm jogging by. I'm not standing there staring. I'm jogging by, all right? And the light that I see, you know, it projects warmth, and it's almost like you just have this feeling that the people inside must be eating turkey dinner together. Or maybe they're going to the couches with their hot cocoa and telling jokes, about to start a movie, and I'm like, oh, that looks good. I wouldn't mind being a part of that. I think light is inviting. And Jesus said, we are to be the light in what can be a really dark world at times. So don't hide away from people, he said. Let your light shine. You know, it's almost like we're supposed to be living invitations. In all we say and do, we're invitations sent by God to people who he really desires to host at the feast in the kingdom. Well, a couple Sundays ago, last Sunday, we read some stories that communicated to us just how powerful encouragement can be in people's lives. I believe this week's sermon topic is even more powerful. So Kevin Miller, obviously, in that opening story today, looks back at that invitation that Mike gave to him as being almost a turning point in his life. And again, it wouldn't have come about if Mike hadn't invited. What if we could invite someone into a friendship, to a dinner, to a church, into an experience of Jesus that wouldn't just change their life, but would change their eternity? The power of an invitation. Yeah, God created us to be in a community of love. The human race left it, but he stands there still with his arms out, inviting us all back in. And we, as his ambassadors in this world, were to be includers, were to be inviters. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Teach us your ways, O God. Ask that you mold us into your likeness, because you're so good. Whether we are adults here today or in junior high or high school, Lord, I ask that you would move us all from kind of normal human thinking where we choose our friends you know, we accept some and reject others. We include some, we exclude others. Let us be people who are going to be open to friendship with everybody. Open hearts, genuine love for all. Lord, make us sensitive to those who have needs to be invited in, and help us to respond to those needs. You've had open arms towards us. May we have open arms to others. Amen.